A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you.
Good morning, everybody. Have you ever had a difficult time saying goodbye to somebody? This is often a thing that we avoid. We don't want to look somebody in the face and tell them goodbye. We come up with many phrases to replace it. Take care. Here's my favorite, see ya. That's my favorite. I use it all the time in text. See ya. Take it easy, so long, talk to you later. It's one we used in high school. I got a jet. I don't literally have a jet. I've got a jet. We don't like saying goodbye. So we come up with other phrases for it. And I know some are prone to poke fun at that. They especially poke fun at people who struggle to say goodbye, but I had foster children. They have a hard time saying goodbye. In their world, that's a really, really difficult thing. So I kind of understand it. But Jesus doesn't say goodbye here either. That's what he's trying to say. But I don't think Jesus is looking for a comfortable replacement. I think he's telling us something rather important. In all of John chapters 14, 15, and 16, he's telling his best friends, I've got to go. This is goodbye. Jesus said it this way, in a little while you won't see me, but then again, after a little while, you will see me yet again. It is time to say goodbye. Now, as we roll through the text, we can see, first of all, that the apostles didn't get this. I mean, we can relate to this, right? It's kind of like seeing Jesus through a fog. You can hear the plain words that he's saying, in our case in simple English, in their case probably Hebrew. You can hear these words. They're simple enough to understand. And yet, you're like, this is making my head hurt. I don't get it. And sometimes, even though we know Jesus quite well, it's like seeing him or hearing him through the fog. We can kind of sort of pick out what he's getting at, maybe. But it's hard to pin him down, isn't it? And I think the disciples could understand our feeling quite well on this. Even though they were with him face to face, they did not understand at all what he was telling them. And so, like us, they decided to have a little discussion about it, a little debate, if you will. What do you think he means? Well, I don't know. What do you think he means? Well, I think this. No, it can't be. It's got to be that. And so they're hashing it out. What did Jesus mean when he said this or that or the other? In this case, a little while and you won't see me anymore. A little while. In just a little while. Jesus knows that they're discussing it and that they want to ask him, and so he clarifies it. And after he gets done clarifying it, I'm sure they're like, yeah, I got it. Jesus knows that we struggle with this. And so In this particular case, he clarifies it. Now, let me point this out. There are a lot of things we can wonder what Jesus meant, but if it was really important, guess what he's going to do every single time? He's going to clarify it. You might not get the clarification any better than you got it the first time around, but at least the clarification shows, I need you to understand this. I need this to be clear to you. And so today I want to talk a little bit more about this phrase, a little while, because Jesus' effort to clarify it tells us that it's important. Now, you can take just the phrase in and of itself, a little while. It's an amount of time that we really can't put a finger on. It's indeterminate by its very nature. What is a little while? Now, you've had this on both ends of the spectrum. When you were a little kid, your parents say, we'll be to grandma's in a little while. You know, that meant absolutely nothing to you. But you turned it around on your kids. We're going to go to the park in a little while. It's brief. But for this discussion this morning, brief in whose eyes? Who determines the brevity of a little while in this case? Clearly, it's not the disciples. Because clearly we can still see, but dimly as through a fog. But in Jesus' clarification, this is the interesting part, and now let's get back to what Bryant so well set me up for. These folks are trying to kill me, and they're going to be happy about it. They're going to oppress me, they're going to afflict me, and they will have a party when they succeed. But you will not see the joy of it. I've got to go. I've got a jet. Goodbye. For a little while. Now, this idea that they were trying to kill Jesus is not something that only happens in the last week of his life. In verse 20, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and you will cry, but the world will rejoice. And while they're rejoicing, you will have great sorrow. And to this very hour, the world still wants Jesus dead. Because if he's not dead, it presents a whole different predicament to folks. But this isn't new in the Gospel of John. It doesn't just come up in the last week of Jesus' life. Earlier on in John 7:19, Jesus said to this to the Jews, Moses gave you the law, didn't he? But none of you keeps the law, and that is why you are trying to kill me. Their response is, you're demon-possessed. Nobody's trying to kill you. You're paranoid, Jesus. Oh, am I? Earlier in John 7:1, Jesus traveled in Galilee and not Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. The biggest reason we don't understand such a phrase as little while is because we don't want to talk to a live Jesus. We'd rather just throw our hands up in the air and say, this doesn't make any sense to me. I'm gone. I'm bolting. I'm the one that's leaving this time, Jesus. A little while. You think that's not true? Look at John chapter 6 when Jesus talks about the table, that they must drink his blood and eat his flesh. And they depart in mass numbers because they didn't want to understand what he was saying. All the way back in John 5 and verse 18. And thus the Jews tried to kill Jesus all the more because he was not only healing on the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Or back in John chapter 3, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. Now, in this last week of Jesus' life, he's about to stand before Pilate. Pilate has him scourged, and then after having him scourged in John chapter 19, he brings him out. And he puts him before the crowd, and he says, "Behold the man! Look at him! I've crushed him! I've oppressed him! I've afflicted him! Isn't that enough? I don't find any reason for him to be guilty." The Jews answered in verse 7, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die." They wanted to misunderstand a little while. But the apostles are different. They wanted to understand what Jesus was saying, and yet they still could not. They were not the ones afflicting him. They were not the ones oppressing him. They were following him. And yet they come to this little phrase, "a little while," and their mind just melts down. It is true that the same city that just a few days earlier had cried out, "Hosanna," will on the morrow be crying out, "Crucify him." As Jesus has this very discussion here in John 16, "In a little while you won't see me anymore," as he's trying to explain that to them, he knows that the same people who followed him and cherished him and lauded him will be nailing him to a cross. They will rejoice that he is finally gone. But they forget this one thing. They forget that it's not only a promise that I'm leaving, but it's also a promise that I am returning, as was so well placed before us at the table. "In a little while, I've got to go. But don't worry. In a little while, you will see me again." So I grant that Jesus can be hard to see, hard to know, and hard to understand. I grant that even for his closest friends who had spent years with him already, they were like, "I don't understand what you are talking about." Surely we can identify with that feeling from time to time, can we not? But Jesus is really hard to see if you don't want to see him. And that's part of his explanation. "You will see me again." But imagine the poor folks who don't want to see me and who rejoice over my death. Imagine just for a second how hard that will be for them. Because one day your sorrow will turn to joy. Which means their joy will turn to sorrow. Because they will have to look upon the one whom they have pierced. In a little while, your grief will turn to joy. It's like a woman giving birth. At first she has sorrow because her hour has come. But then when she's delivered that baby, she no longer remembers the anguish. Because she has great joy that the baby has been born into the world. Now let me put this real simple for us. Jesus is bringing up this birth analogy because something new is about to happen. Something that was dead is about to be brought to life. In this particular case, it's him. The departure is going to be rough. In a little while, you're not going to see me anymore. And it's going to cause you great pain. And some days, our days are still like that. Where is Jesus? We want to crown him with many crowns. We want to give him all the glory, but life is tough. And we have trouble seeing him through the fog. And we also need to remember the promise of a little while. It'll be worth it if we hang in there. And between the departure and the return, Jesus calls it a little while. Now, there's a sense here, even in John 16, where Jesus is clearly referring to his resurrection. In less than 24 hours, he's going to be placed in a grave. And then 72 hours later, he's going to be brought forth from it. Ish. 3 days is not the same in Jewish context as it is in ours. But you get the idea. This also is prophesied, by the way. Micah 7:8. Do you gloat over me, my enemy? Even though I have fallen, I will be raised up. And even though I sit in darkness, the Lord God, Yahweh, He will be my light. But here's the truth. Even after the resurrection, the apostles were shaky, weren't they? They went back to fishing. They went back to hiding. They went back to waiting for a little while. And then they saw Jesus ascend into heaven in Acts chapter 1, and in Acts chapter 2, they received the promised Holy Spirit, which is prominently figured here in this passage before us in John 14, 15, and 16. Don't have time to get into that. And so you think, well, Phil, their little while was over. They made it through the death, burial, and resurrection. They are good. Well, if all Jesus has in mind is the resurrection, perhaps so. But I'm going to tell you the little while refers to way more than that day. Going on in verse 22, Jesus says this, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will be able to take that joy from you." No doubt that's a reference to the resurrection, but it is a reference to so much more. Because in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, and this is just one of dozens I could have picked out, I just want to look at this one this morning. In 1 Peter 5:10, the Apostle Peter, who was in that room, who was part of that discussion, what does he mean a little while? And who received the same clarification, says this, "Behold, after you have suffered a little while," wait, what? I thought the little while was over. I thought Jesus had already come back from the dead. Uh-huh, he has. "Behold, after you have suffered for a little while." We've talked about little things all this month. Four little creatures on the first Sunday, the little foxes that destroy the vineyard last Sunday, and now this little bit of time, this little while. "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, the God who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." We also have a little while to go through, just like Jesus did. And just like Jesus suffered oppression and affliction, we will have to endure it too. And both of them will come to an end after a little while. Well, it's one thing to not understand what Jesus is saying, but this is crystal clear, and that makes us way more uncomfortable because we don't want to think that we have to share in the sufferings of Christ. We want to rise above that. We want to claim the victory. We'd just as soon do away with a little while, wouldn't we? We've been given a new birth, but our birth pains are not over. Because in just a little while, the saints of God are going to once again experience something new. And while we are in this world, we still sit in darkness, but the Lord of glory is our light. And even if the enemy gloats over us, he has no say. And Jesus had enemies, and so do we. And they wanted him dead. And if we stand for Jesus, they will want us dead. Now, in America, they might not be able to do much about it other than smear us, make our lives miserable. But the day's coming when even here, they will kill us. Yet after a little while, the tears of our sorrow will come to an end. The oppression and the affliction will be over. Because at the promised return, when the trump shall sound, all the hardships, all the tears, all the labor pains that we experience here will be turned into an insurmountable joy that finally cannot be taken from us. The ultimate fulfillment of a little while is not in the resurrection, it is in the promised return. Now, I have no idea if Bryant somehow got a hold of my sermon notes, he could not have said it any better at the table. He could just be led by the Spirit, that's what I choose to believe, because I don't think he snoops around in my office any at all. But he set this up so well for us because it is the promised return that signals when a little while has ended. The resurrection is the foretaste of that. For our light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that far surpasses everything else. I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy from you. Right now, we live in the fog. Right now, we debate about what Jesus exactly means on this point or that point. But when he goes out of his way to clarify it, we should pay attention, and his clarification here is loud and clear. There's a great day coming. When we look upon our Savior face to face. Right now, we don't fully know. Right now, we don't fully understand. Right now, we're still in the fog. But one day, we will fully know, even as we are already fully known. We will fully understand what Jesus means by a little while. One day, we will see Jesus clearly, not through the fog. Not in a dimly lit room with a bad mirror. One day, in a little while, we will have a joy that cannot be taken away. So now, all the way back to David's class in Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. I don't know if there's somebody here who's thinking about giving up. But don't give up during a little while. You'll be glad you did not. Because the enemy wants to gloat over you, and he wants to oppress you, he wants to afflict you, he wants to crush you, and if you give up, you have forgotten the promise of just a little while. So let the eyes of your heart be enlightened this morning that the promise is still open. And today is the day of salvation. Hang in for just a little while. Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. Look to the light of our great God and Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Hang in there just a little while longer. Because Jesus is coming soon, regardless of what the scoffers say. And he's coming in just a little while. And then like you, I pray that it's today. I want to see my grandkids grow up. I want to see my great-grandkids be born. I want to live with Tammy and be married to her 50 years. Don't think that's going to happen. Don't tell her. She's under some delusion that we're going to live that long. If we do, that'll be fine with me. Because even if I live 1,000 years, Jesus is coming. It's just a little while. And even if every one of that 1,000 years is filled with terrible, terrible tragedy and hardship, one day the joy will be worth it. I've just got to hang on for a little while. So perhaps you've never had trouble saying goodbye. Fine. I don't think Jesus said it this way because he has trouble saying goodbye. I think he says it this way because it's what we need to hear. Hang on for just a little while. Don't give up now. If you have a need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.